Think that's a good word there?
I mean, what are we going to do with this? Jesus said, you can go into that city. You can go to this place. You can find a foal of an ass. His mother's tied up right there. Bring it to me. No. His disciples did what he told them. That's not bad. I mean, that's a miracle. Then it was exactly the way he said, time and eternity. I mean, who tied that animal up? Somebody tied that animal up. At whose direction? Obviously, God's direction. Because God told you where it was going to be tied. So this God that rules the whole universe says, not only can I get you to the right place at the right time, then Jesus said, and if anybody says anything to you, you tell them I have need of it. Try that. You know, you're at Walmart, somebody's got the keys in their car. If they say anything to you, tell them I have need of it. Don't try it. They will throw you in jail. I will not be able to bond you out. I don't have enough money. That's why, I mean, that's what Jesus said, wasn't it? See, if anybody says anything to you, just tell them, master has need of it. You know, I've often thought, I wonder who the master was, because, you know, I don't think the master was home there that day. And those servants probably thought it was Leo, their master, you know, I mean, that lives there at the house. And they thought, oh, Leo's down at the market. He wants the donkey. I wonder if maybe when Leo came back, he said, hey, where's the donkey? They said, you wanted it. These two men came up, said, the master hath need of it. We thought you wanted the donkey we sent. We don't know where it went. I mean, we don't know who this was at that house. I mean, you think God can't do stuff like that? He just told Herod, he said, I want you to go in there and kill all those babies because I'm doing something to separate a son from a generation. And how did they end up in Bethlehem? God said to Caesar. God said to Caesar, this ruling Rome, I want you to tax everybody, make them go back to their home city to be taxed. Jesus wasn't going to be born in Bethlehem. We know he was not going to be born in Bethlehem. He's going to be born someplace else. But what God said was, I want Caesar to tax the people and tell all the Jews they have to go back to the city of their nativity to be taxed. And while they were there, Mary birthed this baby. This is the law of subjection. This isn't God asking people to get it together. This is God who's got it together. The thing he's doing is showing me and you that the donkeys mind better than the people do. So the very first concept of the church is, let's teach subjection. Well, 2,000 years, we're catching on. God's been good to us, but we're catching on. God says, this is the dumb part of the kingdom. 2,000 years, we're catching on. All he wanted was subjection, but he said, listen, then you go get that foal of that ass, bring it over to me. And the Bible said, no man ever sat on it. Now you round, listen, if you want fun, you round you up the foal of an ass that's been tied to its mother that nobody ever sat on. Take it away from its mother. This will be interesting. Then lead it up to somebody and then get them to sit on it. And I recommend it be your brother or your sister, not you. The Bible said no man ever sat on it. This is the law of subjection. This is the law of subjection. God said when things don't make up their own mind. Isn't it interesting because the law of subjection works best with the creepy thing that doesn't have a mind? Isn't it interesting that the foal of an ass has a mind of its own, but it could be brought into subjection by Jesus Christ? So that's the very first thing he shows us in his picture of this final part of his creation, because I got news for you. What God's talking about here has never been finalized. This sixth-day creation has never really been realized by God yet. Not yet. Oh, God's had man. But he didn't have man into the subjection like he wanted him. Not even Adam. Because Adam was operating from a place of not having the ability to decide. He just had an innocent mind. How many know that's true? From that place, it wasn't really subjection. Is like a goose flying south. God wants more than a goose flying south. God said, yes, subjection, submission, all of that. When I program an animal, I could have anybody program. If I wanted to program you, I could program you. I don't want that. That's not the glory of my creation. The capstone of my creation is yet to come. And that's man. And I created him with the ability to say no to me. When I say go south, I created him with an ability to come out of subjection. Is that dangerous? Yes. Absolutely. Because the very capstone, the very finishing of all of God's creation is he worked his way from light to man. And he said, I'm going to create in this man the ability to say to me, nah. To God. That's the last thing a parent would want a child to be created with, the ability to tell him no. Come on, you parents know what I'm talking about. That causes discord in the home. If your kids could only go yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, oh, would that be heaven? See what God did? God said the beauty of this thing is willingly surrendering to subjection. That's what I want. And so he said, this is how we're going to get this thing done. I'm going to build a church that's going to come forth on the principles of the laws of creation. I'm going to set up the laws of creation. I'm going to give myself 6,000 years to finish the work. But I'm going to bring man to what I said he would be. And this is what he said he would be. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion. And the very last law, the 12th law, is dominion. The 12th law of creation is dominion. Now, why would dominion be your last law of creation? Because if you don't have that created being under subjection, his dominion becomes tyranny. Is that true? And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good in the evening, the morning, the sixth day. And so God brings us into this place where now we're in communion. We're dealing with a depth of fellowship. So that these last 2 days ring true. What God said he was going to do was bring forth an abundance. And I can guarantee you that that's what God did. He's brought forth a church that's going to be right in the center of his plan. And that is that from that place on the earth, he is going to bring forth a living people. And the capstone of this is a people in his image. We're not moving into an agenda that says, well, we're going to live our life any way we want to, and then one of these days God's going to come back and just judge the earth and we're going to be out of here. That isn't what God said at all. God said, I'm going to bring man into my image. And he said he created male and female in the image of God, and that we understand is love. That's that fellowship. That's that communion. That's what that depth is. He said he created male and female in his image, and so what he showed us was love. He didn't just create men in his image. He created male and female in his image, and we say this all the time. But I got to say it again. And that's because a man and a woman in love are representative of Jesus Christ and his bride. They're representative of God. It's representative. God is love. And what God brought us into was a picture on the earth where a man and a woman represented that love. So it isn't until a man and a woman are truly in love that God is represented But it's still not in that full image. I can tell you. Well, you can see people in love, but that's not in the full image of God. Because we've got some other things we've got to do. We've got to have every one of these laws in place by the time we get down to where man is in dominion. If man is in dominion, but he doesn't have the light, he does not have the revelation word of God, and he's in dominion, he's in the wrong kind of dominion. He becomes tyrannical over the people of God, or he becomes a tyrant or a dictator in a government. If you don't start with the principles of the law of creation worked down as God defined them for us and brought them to us, then all of these things can get out of balance. What God said is, I want you to understand that there's a spirit realm and a physical realm. When you come into a place of dominion, you've got to understand that there's a difference between the two realms, because it's easy for me wanting to have dominion over people that I'm working with. It's easy for you to want to have dominion over people that you're working with. And what God's telling me and you is that there's a physical realm and there's a spirit realm. People that are making mistakes and dealing in the physical realm really don't have that kind of impact on the things in the spirit realm until they start pulling people out of the spirit realm back to their physical realm. That's what's wrong with dealing with things where God brings revelation knowledge and you want to do it in the flesh. When you start doing things in the flesh that God intends in the spirit realm, you're dragging people out of the spirit realm. And I can tell you, God isn't going to let people operating in the flesh realm drag people out of God's spirit realm. He's not going to do it. He said there's a separation between these two. And as these principles begin to come down through there, we're going to see that the church is built on that kind of provision. Now, I can tell you that what God's doing here, and I've told you this since I've been here, what God wanted to do was put his word inside of you by revelation knowledge so that you would be able to take that word out to people that are starving to death, that are already born again, but aren't being fed. That's what I've been telling you. That God's preparing you not just to go out and win the lost, but to begin to feed the people that are already birthed but have no food. And I can tell you there's an awful lot of people that are going to church but they're starving to death for want of a word from God that really is a word from God. And so what happens is God said, look, I want to show you what my law of creation is. I'm going to start with light, revealed knowledge. When that happens, the religious house has all of its own knowledge. It's operating in darkness. Jesus said that the Pharisees were operating in darkness. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not being hypercritical. I'm just telling you that there is two kingdoms, light and dark. God showed us that from the beginning. As we operate in these principles, then he shows us that as that light shines in darkness, the darkness comprehends it not. And what happens when people don't comprehend the light is they go to war with it. So that when I begin to preach the gospel and begin to deal with things, the truth, that talked about just simply Jesus coming to live in a person's life, you'd think everybody in Christianity would receive that. Oh, that's great. Then I start talking about coming into sinless perfection, and everybody wants to back away. Now there's something wrong with the light. Now there's something wrong with that revealed knowledge, and yet the Bible's filled with that. That what God wants is to create man in his own image. I can tell you that God wants man created in his own image because God said he did it. Say, well, he's created in his image, but you know he's flesh. Okay, then we've got to go back to the principles of the two realms, flesh and spirit. We've got to know if water can be renewed. We've got to know if that's how God cleansed the earth. We've got to know if that's a principle that God's used. And I can show you baptism all the way down through John. I can show you the principles of water renewal. I'm not just making up some kind of concept here. I'm not just taking something out of creation and trying to bring it down and jam it into the Bible and make it fit some way. I can tell you that renewal and rebirth really does stem from that. The Bible says that you've got to be born of the water and the blood. So this isn't something that we're making up. But I can tell you that as that light begins to shine, and then the water of the Word of God begins to flow through us jointly, what happens is it starts bringing forth fruit. And what's the fruit for? The fruit is to provide food for people who need the food. And that's why what God's been doing to us is saying, hey, when someone comes through here and tries to get people born again, all they're talking about is, hey, we got to go out and win the lost, we got to go win the lost. And they're not feeding anybody. You realize that they're not following the principles of God's creation. Because God first prepares food before he prepares life. He doesn't go out and get the people first. He prepares food first. And that's what God's doing to you. Now, how many of you get discouraged because God's putting the food inside of you? God's planting the seed inside of you. Now, I got to tell you that that seed not only has to be planted inside of you, but it's got to be believed in order to come forth and bring forth fruit. So what you're in is a process that says, are you really going to believe it? So now what's happening is, if you believe it, you'll live what God's been teaching us. Are you going to live it? Because now we're down at the high-stakes game. We're down to the stuff where it's really beginning to tell whether or not you're going to live the Word of God or whether you're going to let the flesh dictate policy.
This is where the shaking takes place. And the shaking isn't bad. It means we're almost done with that preparatory stuff. The word that God's planted inside of you is about to bring forth life. So we're not going backwards, we're going forwards. But I can tell you that we are in that place right now that God's shaking and separating. And we're moving on into that spirit realm where the spirit brings forth life. I've told you this from the beginning. This is the agenda of God. First, he's got to prepare provisions. But he's got to start with the light. After he prepares those provisions, then he brings the light into leadership. Now, that's where we're at right now. That's why we've been dealing most recently, this year, with warfare against the leadership. Because if we're not going to move into that realm where the light rules, and I don't want to rule, I'm not interested in ruling, as something that's been against anything that I've preached from the very beginning, but I can tell you that when rebellion rises up, then the ministry rules over it. Yes, it does do that. Absolutely. 100 times out of 100. The Bible said that when the hireling sees a wolf come, he flees. Said, but when a shepherd, who's the sheep are his own, sees the wolf come, then he stands and destroys the wolf. Now, that's where we're at right now, is that what God's doing to this church is saying, this is where you're at. We're at such a place that the enemy's trying to bring up this warfare. What reason? This is the reason why. Either light will rule or darkness will rule. That's how it's going to end. Light will rule, darkness will rule. From that, then, can come forth the ministries that are prepared to go out and win the lost. Then, once you've got that food inside of you, you personally can feed those that you win, then you can win them. And God is anxious to have the lost won, I can tell you. He's anxious. And more than that, you're going to train other people that will feed the people of God. But you got to start with the revelation word of God. You can't start with doctrines. God isn't interested in making that kind of false provision. He's interested in true provision. That's why he's made these things available to us. So, now, I want to read that scripture that we read last week in Isaiah. And 4:5, and the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. And that's what God said. Now, this light that we talked about, and I talked about it last week, but I just want to reiterate it. This light was selective light. This light is selective light. This is that light of Jesus Christ. And it's selective light. The sun is a general light. It just shines on the earth. Just shines. Moon, it's just a general light, shines on the earth. This light is a selective light of Jesus Christ. When the children of Israel, this is the example we used last week, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they were being chased by the Egyptian army. The Bible said that this light got between the Israeli people and the Egyptian army. To the Egyptians, this was darkness. The Bible said it was gross darkness. But to the Israeli people, it was a flaming fire of light. That's selective light. To one, it's darkness. To another, it's light. And so it is with revelation knowledge. So it is with revelation knowledge. Because when revelation knowledge comes, the Spirit of God has to reveal it. And only people in the kingdom see it as light. To other people, it's just darkness. Now, I can tell you that when you come into the Lord, there's going to be a lot of things you're going to read. There's going to be a lot of things you're going to hear. There's going to be a lot of things in sermons that are like darkness to you. It just don't make sense. But that doesn't mean you're not in the kingdom. Don't let the devil vex you over that kind of stuff. If after you've been around and everything is still darkness, then you need to pray that God begins to bring you revelation knowledge. You need to pray that you will let the Spirit of God reveal things to you. And you'll know. After a while, if things just don't make sense and other people talking spiritual stuff and Christian people that you love and you know they're right on. I'm not talking to everybody. Hey, all kinds of people saying, God told me, God told me. Folks, if everybody who said God told them something really had God tell them something, the church would be in great shape in America. But there's a lot of people running around saying God said, and God didn't say it at all. He's embarrassed that you said he said it. But what happens is, when you know that the word has come true that someone said, and that's what God said, you can check. Is the word coming to pass? Is what they're saying coming to pass? If that's come to pass, then there's something else going on. Then you can pay attention to what's being said. And that's what God's bringing us back to, is a place of real understanding. Light that's revealed. But if you personally realize, hey, wait a minute, I'm not catching on to this stuff. I'm not catching on. You have an advocate with the Father. I'd go straight to God. That's what I did. I just go straight to God and say, God, I want your provision. I want communion with you. I want fellowship with you. I want revelation knowledge. I want the spirit of revelation. If there's something in me that precludes it, if there's something in me that stops it, if there's something in me that's been hindering it, get it out. I want that revelation knowledge. I want to go on in you. Let's stand together. This is good stuff. Listen. Ephesians 2 said, we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. The final thing that God wanted was for us to be in Christ Jesus. How many know that that's the end result? He said that he gave the fivefold ministry that we might come to the full stature of the man Christ Jesus. Him living in us in a fullness. Him ruling in us. Not me and you ruling. I got to tell you, the reason God waited for dominion, to give man dominion till the very last thing, is he wanted you and I to understand that dominion has to be under subjection. Light has to rule. Every one of those laws of creation have to be in place or it gets out of line. And that's why God didn't send me here to rule over you. He didn't give me dominion over you. He gave his spirit dominion over you. And I can tell you that when his spirit moves through the ministry, that's what it hits. Anything that doesn't surrender. And that's what God's telling us. Let's get through this year. This is the end of November. God said that this year was going to be a year of warring against ministry. Okay, I'll take it. I was sure hoping he didn't say that last January, but that's what he said. This has been exactly as he said. This has been the most prolific year, as he has spoken. Exactly what he said came to pass. Now, that's just the kind of God he is. But folks, I'm so glad this year is over. And next year, I'm praying that the dynamic of next year will be a love for the leadership of God, an undying, unfailing love for the leadership of God. And we'll just see. I don't always get what I want, but I can want it anyway. God, we praise you for what you're doing. Praise you for your spirit of revelation knowledge. God, take the word and take that very creative power. We want the gospel of the kingdom to come alive in us. Jesus, I pray that your spirit would take this word, bring forth life in us, glorify your great name. God, we want to be made in your image in the full stature of the man Christ Jesus, not for our dominion, but for your dominion, for our subjection. God, we want to be perfectly subject to you. And I pray, God, that we would walk in that place of abject humility before you, Jesus, from the inside, not from the outside, not a show of humility, but real humility, not a display of humbleness and backwoodsiness, but God, real humility. God, where we walk in union and fellowship. God, I pray it in the righteous name of Jesus. Lord, let your word come to pass in our lives. Bring forth your glory. God, separate the light from the darkness in every one of us. God, let nobody be destroyed by Satan. Let nobody be snared and taken. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do its work. In your name we pray it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.